What up? It's Porky Pig. They call me P-double-L-G. Step to me, he don't want no trouble. I was famous before the internet. Since 1935, I've been getting respect. This pig is lit. I'm super legit. Every time I'm out in public, people asking me for pics. You? Nobody knows you when you walk the street. How your last name, rhythm, and you're still off beat. From beginning to the end, I'm here for all the smoke. Your squad ain't all star. Your squad is all jokes. And this with one bar, most famous of all quotes. This battle is now over. That's all, folks.
Artificial intelligence kidnaps the sun. A famed basketball player, LeBron James, who then has to work with Bugs Bunny to win a basketball game.
It's starting so well. I won't interrupt the introduction. The introduction and then I'll say it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Extras and Epilogues. It's the final episode of March Madness, and I'm mad that I had to watch this film.
We'll be mad.
Yes.
Yes.
My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host. The theater is open once again. Welcome, of course, my co-host for the evening, Mr. Hunter Hendricks.
We started this month with White Men Can't Jump, which has legitimately been one of my favorite movies we've watched for this show.
Yep.
And we're ending with this.
We have a special guest tonight who I blame for us having to watch this film.
Yes,
it's entirely his fault. Coming back to the show once again, Mr. Zach Kurgis.
I didn't even know it was my fault. You asked me my opinions on it, and then you decided to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that again.
You said we should
watch it.
To be fair, he made me watch Tokyo Gore Police, so I figured he needed to watch this.
Better than this. Oh. And I'll explain why. I'll explain why I feel that way.
I can't go that far.
I think once I explain why I feel that way, I think you won't necessarily agree with me, but I think you'll see where I'm coming from.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So tonight we are reviewing Space Jam: A New Legacy. Last week we did Space Jam. Last week I went in expecting to dislike Space Jam, and I ended up liking it. This week I went in expecting to dislike this movie and I was right.
can we generally agree to just call this Space Jam 2? I'm not saying A New Legacy this whole fucking night. I'm not doing it.
That's true. Although I will give it credit. It is A New Legacy. This movie will definitely have a legacy. It's a new legacy from the first one, a bad one. So
yes,
In full disclosure, Hunter's not in a good mood. I am not in a good mood. This movie could not have picked a worse time to be reviewed.
Nope.
The only way this movie could have picked a worse time to be reviewed is if the moment after they called me to tell me my dad expired, somebody said, "All right, we need you on the set."
Oh, God.
Now, thankfully, I already made up my mind about this movie hours ago, so it's not affecting my score, but here we go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Here's the facts. Released on July 16th, 2021, directed by Malcolm D. Lee, who also did The Best Man, Undercover Brother, which I enjoy. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
And Girls Trip. Never seen that one.
He's a good director, but he didn't write this. And the reason I didn't put the writers on here is that this thing was obviously written by committee. Even without seeing the writers, you knew, having watched this movie, that it was written by like six different people. And it was. I don't remember a single name from that list. It was a bunch of people. You can tell it went through a bunch of different rewrites. Also, importantly, that release date means it came out at a time when Warner and their subsidiaries and all that were dropping things online. This was that time frame where some people were still putting movies out instead of directly to theater. They were dropping them online first, right. And this was one of them.
Yeah.
It came to Max before it came to theaters, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I believe so. Runtime of 115 minutes, too long. It was too fucking too long. It was too fucking long.
This is a children's movie, ostensibly, and it's almost 2 hours long. There's no need. Space Jam was much closer to 90 minutes, to an hour and a half, and that's where this should have been.
Yes, well, it should have never been made. I forgot to mention starring LeBron James, who is terrible.
Somehow a worse actor than Michael Jackson. And Michael Jordan, and which Michael is who Jordan. I meant, but yeah. both of those things are right.
It reminds me of a Notorious Big lyric. On any nights I perform like Michael, anyone, my Jackson, Jordan, you know, yeah, he's yeah. Not yeah. this one. LeBron, we'll get to it. Don Cheadle, who, great actor, terrible role.
Don Cheadle, I was going to say, Don Cheadle is great in this role. Unfortunately, the role is awful. And at any point in time, I can just imagine him going, they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
Zendaya? I mean,
at least he looks like he's having fun.
Oh, he's chewing the scenery. Absolutely chewing the scenery. Zendaya's in this as Lola Bunny.
Uh-huh.
Could have got the original woman back. Didn't. Said chose for Zendaya.
They did. They had her.
Really?
She recorded. Cass Soucie recorded every single line of dialogue for Lola Bunny in this movie, and they replaced her in post with Zendaya.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
True story.
Wow.
True story. That, very sad. So the real shame of it is Zendaya does a great job.
She does.
And
she's
Lola
fine.
Is one of the only things I did like about this movie, and we'll get into it at a certain point, but she's the biggest complaint that I had about Space Jam, that we both had about Space Jam,
they
was the
of.
Way that character was treated then. Completely different here. It was great.
Yep.
But which it is very disheartening. About. Yes, of course. But it is very disheartening to know that like the original voice actor came back for that role, one of the only ones who would have, because there is only one other original voice actor in this movie, and that is the person who played Tweety, Bob Bergen.
Yeah
Everyone else is a different person. You can tell Bugs is very obviously
I didn't like his voice.
No,
Eric Bauza, I think, or Boza or something like that.
Yeah
I didn't care for his voice.
Zendaya does a great job, but again, when you know the story behind it, it's very disheartening.
That makes it very depressing for me. And then Sonequa Martin Green.
Who, from The Walking Dead. One of two people from The Walking Dead in this movie.
She's good in The Walking Dead. She's really good in Star Trek. She's fantastic in Star Trek. She was pointless in this film. I mean, not that she was pointless. She didn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
She just didn't have a lot to work with.
They didn't spend as much time, not to already be making comparisons, but the original didn't spend as much time with Michael Jordan's family.
Right.
This time around, they did. And when she's there, she does a really good job. Like, you believe
that
she's supposed to be who she's supposed to be, that she's LeBron James' wife, and that she's the mother of these children. But, like, other than that, like you said, there's just not a lot happening there for that character.
Budget versus box office. $150 million budget, $163 million box office.
Not good.
Not good.
Very bad.
Not good. No. Even worse was the critical reception.
Well, you knew this movie was going to cost a shit ton of money. There was no way that this was not going to cost just an insane amount of money. But I don't know if we ever really talked about this here, but the last I heard, so I used to do a similar segment to what we do here, but in much shorter form when I was in radio, called The Screening Room, actually. Yeah. That was the name of the segment. And I talked about two or three different, you know, movie things per day. And often on Mondays, we would run down the top 10 of the box office. One of the things that I made a point to mention, you know, about how much a movie had made, if it was interesting versus what it had cost to make, is that when you get a number that's a budget, that budget is only what it costs to make the movie.
That's what I told
that
them today.
That does not include
marketing and shit like that.
Marketing at all. So most of the time, a big budget movie, take the budget of the film and multiply it by half.
Yeah.
So basically, whatever half the budget is, tack that on again to the top of the budget. That's probably your marketing score. So if that's the case, you're now talking about
big loss.
What, $225 million against $163 of what it made. That's a huge loss. And again, I'm certain that somebody somewhere said, well, they put it out on digital first. People could watch it effectively for free if they already had a subscription. And that's not entirely inaccurate, but... It's still not a good number.
They did the same thing with and Zach, you'll back me up on this. They did the same thing with Godzilla versus Kong, didn't they? That was on TV the same time it was in theaters. And I think
made a lot of money.
It made a lot of money. Yeah, I want to check the budget and box office on that real quick.
Wonder Woman 84 got the same treatment.
Oh, yeah. Budget. All right. So Godzilla versus Kong, budget of $155 million, made $470 million at the box office. So
that's a much bigger difference.
That's way better.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Give me that first number again. How much did it cost to make that movie?
$150 to $200 million is what it said.
So it costs at most $50 million more to make that gigantic monster movie versus LeBron James playing basketball with a Looney Tunes. That should tell you a little something about where the money went in this movie.
Also, this movie should tell you that you can't trust reviews, both critical and audience sometimes, because critical reception, 25% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's an average of 4.4 out of 10, 36 out of 100 on Metacritic, generally unfavorable, but an audience grade of cinema score of A-.
Of an A-. So audiences at large liked this movie pretty well.
For some reason.
Were they 5-year-olds that were rating this movie?
It's gotta be.
I think they were. They were all, I believe it was all made up of Nick Cannon's kids.
I mean,
I thought those were all the extras that were lining the court, because there were about 1,000 of them in the movie.
So one of my only things I liked about that film was kind of picking out the little people out there. But
sure.
That was also terrible, because I saw whoever they decided to get to be the Penguin. I was like, oh shit, is that the Penguin? Horrible. Makeup on the Penguin.
Well, did you see the Mr. Freeze knockoff that shows up about 800 times?
Yes.
And he's also bad.
All of them were
bad. So Pennywise in there too.
I saw Pennywise. Weird. Yep. Kong looked great. All right, so let's talk about the film. The general plot, we said it there, but basically they want LeBron James to be the spokesperson, the face for this new thing called Warner 3000.
Serververse, Warner 3000. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, can I pause for just a second, one sentence into this explanation?
Go ahead.
Because this movie makes no fucking sense.
I was going to get there.
Did anyone understand what they exactly wanted LeBron James to advertise?
No.
So there's this, I mean, we've already jumped over, like, they tried to recreate the young Michael Jordan thing at the beginning. Only this time, instead of being a nice inspirational thing, it was LeBron James doesn't like video games.
Because he loved video games, and that stopped him from being good at basketball.
Yes. Also, I am notably, now
moving over to my second drink, by the way. This is my second alcohol. Go ahead.
What stopped him from being good at basketball was playing a Looney Tunes game on the Game Boy for about 3 minutes.
Which, by the way,
apparently that was too much.
By the way, I believe this is the video game in me. I believe that was Crazy Castle, or Crazy Birthday, one of those two. Fun note about that: that game has been skinned 3 times and released as different games. One of them being the real Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Same game.
It's a knockoff. Importantly, by the way, they make you think that the fact that he plays a Looney Tunes game is going to be important. It's not. You'll never hear about that again.
No.
They'll never reference that again. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what I gathered is what they wanted LeBron to do. I feel like, and maybe I missed it, and I'm just making this up in my head, they wanted LeBron to basically sign over his likeness so they could use his likeness in everything.
Right.
And but he was like, that's ridiculous. Like
this was a thing that other people were going to be able to do, because in that little boardroom meeting with Steven Yeun, there's your other Walking Dead guy. Yep. And again, they must have given him a shit ton of money, because he does nothing in this movie.
And Sarah Silverman.
That one scene, that's it.
And Sarah Silverman
who's in 2 scenes, that one and the one before where she answers the call, and that's it.
Yep. $50 million.
The algorithm, and by the algorithm, I mean Algae Rhythm.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Don Cheadle's character's name basically had come up with this idea. So that was confusing to me first. The algorithm came up with the idea, and then the people took it and ran with it. Did no one ever question, hey, where is this coming from? Why? Because this was a little bit before like ChatGPT and generative AI, large language models. Like, this thing spit out a thing one day and they went, well, the computer just told us what to do. I guess we should do it.
All right. I'm going to skip ahead real quick. And just say this real quick before I go on with the plot. I hated this movie.
Yes.
Yes.
I hated this movie.
They're trying to sell LeBron James on being kind of a spokesperson for this, but also we're going to take your likeness. And they keep saying, we can put you in anything.
Put you anywhere.
In Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We can put you in Game of Thrones.
AKA, look at all of these different IPs we own.
Exactly. But it made it sound like what they were trying to sell to people was not just an app where you could watch all of these things and see LeBron James in them, that they could put themselves into the shows. Because that kind of comes back to the whole, you know, being able to scan people and do stuff. He's able to do it on a small scale, but then the kid The kid who invented a fucking video game with a Game Boy camera on top of it where he can scan people and immediately have all the technology and capability and understanding of them
I can allows drink it to go so even fast. Further. Yeah.
And LeBron James sits there and just kind of goes, this is the worst idea I've ever heard. And Sarah and I at the same time went, does he mean the movie or?
Yeah. So, okay. Happening? So there's a couple parts in there that made me go, okay, I kind of like that line. He does say something about all these, you know, basketball players acting is always a bad idea. And it's like, I know it's supposed to be a cute self-reference line, but yes.
Right.
But yes.
Yes. Yes.
It gets
wrong, sir.
It gets worse when I don't remember why they ended up there, but suddenly LeBron and his son are brought into the digital world physically somehow with no explanation.
They went to the server room. So first of all, the algorithm hacked the elevator and dragged them down to the server room. Also, I know the kid is supposed to be super into video games. I get that. He's like a tech kid. He doesn't want to play basketball.
He wanted, to go to E3.
He wanted to go to E3 game design camp. But then he sees a server room, and he walks into it like it's fucking Disneyland.
Yeah.
I don't care how big a tech nerd you are. Nobody gives a shit about walking around a cooled server room. There's nothing interesting about it. It's just walls and banks of servers.
Meanwhile,
who gives a shit?
They LG Rhythm somehow brings them to the serververse, where he kidnaps...
Yeah, that's never really explained.
He kidnaps his son and says, you're going to play a basketball game. Okay. Yes. I guess.
Okay, game.
And you're never going to see your son again unless you play the basketball game. And then he's...
Against my team.
Against my team. Then he sends LeBron into Toon World after we see all the little visuals of all the other worlds. And he goes to Toon World, and okay, here is the only positive thing I'm going to say. This is the only positive thing. Hunter has a part or two that he genuinely liked, made him chuckle at least. Mm-hmm. This is the only part of the movie I liked, and they never really did a lot with it. The plot of Bugs Bunny being alone on Toon World because he didn't want to leave, and he's secretly recruiting all of his friends because he misses them and wants them to come back one last time. I liked that.
That was interesting. I thought it was definitely a choice to go, here's the people that LeBron's going to team up with. They're the worst of the worst. They're your protagonists. Root for them.
Yes.
But I did I like that Bugs, like that's classic
that was
Bugs Bunny.
Genuinely
just
sweet.
Being sneaky
genuinely
and
sweet
just
too.
Like finding little ways to, but yeah, but he's like, it's really nice. It's a nice little undercurrent. The sad part is that once he recruits them all, when they then get back to Toon World, there's this little bit of friction between Bugs and LeBron because nobody is really talking about staying. They're all talking about how much they want to hang out with LeBron. And you kind of see for a minute that maybe Bugs is going to be a problem. Nope. They just never dropped that plot completely.
Yep. And this is completely skipping to the end, and I'm sorry, but who fucking cares? That's this movie's great. Terrible. At the end, there's a almost legitimately sad moment where Bugs is glitching and dying, and he
sacrifices himself.
And he sees his friends all together one last time and says, you know, it's just like old times. And then he kind of fades away, and it's like, wow, that's
poignant.
That's deep. Only for them to completely piss on it. 4 minutes later,
entirely when he shows up and just goes, "Ah, I got better."
Cartoon physics lets me come to the real world. What the fuck are you talking about, Rabbit?
I'm fine,
Ephraim.
Oh God! More than once in this movie, Sarah and I both said, "Who is this for?"
Yes,
who is this movie for?
Yeah,
because the original movie is very obviously a kid's movie.
Right.
Michael Jordan was a sports hero to children everywhere. Sure, adults obviously like watching him play basketball, but like he was kind of that. They had to do that whole thing where he's like, I'm not a role model. That's not what I am, but also I kind of am. The Looney Tunes were obviously for children for the most part in that movie. Obviously, adults knew them, but this was a movie that was made for kids with a few adult references. Bill Murray and Wayne Knight existing and the stuff with the other basketball players.
Yes.
This movie is kind of the other way around. This movie is very clearly made for First of all, adults who can purchase an HBO Max subscription.
Fuck
because that's
off.
What it's that's what it is. It's a fucking commercial yes. for HBO Max.
Yeah.
With all the other properties.
Yeah.
It's made for people who saw the original movie, but not necessarily for fans of it. Just people who are the right age to have right. seen it.
So who knows what Space Jam is
that they're gonna yeah. make? Who know what the Matrix is?
Right.
Who watched the animated Superman show?
I need to come back to the Matrix thing. Remind me to come back to this when you're done. Yes.
We'll do it. But it's not really made for kids. And yet the problem is, and here's one of the things I did actually genuinely like about it. Had it been a kid's movie, it actually has a much better central theme and message than the original movie.
Yes.
You know me, we've talked about the Mario movie specifically.
100%
agree. How it
yeah.
frustrated me
yeah.
as a kid's, as when people say, oh, it's a kid's movie.
With no message. Right.
There's nothing. There's no message. This movie actually does have, even though it takes a terrible long way to get there, a pretty good message about being who you are, about getting people to understand and acceptance, you know, accepting other people of who they are, getting other people to understand who you are and accept you for that, especially when they're parents.
Right.
That should be pretty great.
That was a good message.
It took a long ass time to get there, but that was great. But again, at a certain point, I'm going, what child is watching this movie and enjoying themselves? They get none of these references. They have no idea who any of these people are.
Who enjoys the movie in general? I didn't laugh once. There was not a, I almost
laughed a couple times, but it was very minor.
I almost chuckled once or twice. The Michael B. Jordan part did make me almost chuckle.
I was like,
that's pretty good. This is the definition of a soulless cash grab.
Corporate
made. AI probably wrote the film.
If you thought Ready Player One was bad,
yeah.
this is that on steroids.
This is terrible in every way. Like, this makes the first film... I was critical of the first one. I think I was the most critical of the first film last week, even though I gave it a thumbs up because I liked it. But in comparison, that movie had charm, it had wit, it had likable characters. This movie has none of that. This movie has just one graphic to the next. This is for people with ADHD. Yep. This movie is for people that don't know what films are. It's very good looking. And look at all the properties that are in here. And I think the moment I finally went, fuck this movie and its fat fucking ass, is when they went to the Matrix. And Granny did the Matrix stuff and kicked the guy through. And I was like, okay, this isn't parody anymore. You are just taking these characters and inserting them into stuff that we already know, but there's no there's no value to it. You're just rehashing.
It's
so bad. And then we talked about the plot being awful. I still don't know what the consequences were if they lost the game. Did he lose his son forever, or what?
Everyone had to stay there. So they said this, but it never really made sense why the algorithm wanted that. So at first, the algorithm just wants to be like human, basically. Like, oh, you've got kind of a Terminator-esque story on your hands here. This is Skynet who wants to be recognized and appreciated as something great. The moment that it sees that people think it's bad because it watches that boardroom thing, watches that boardroom meeting and hears LeBron say, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. It gets mad, it drags him in. Great, kill him. I get it's a kid's movie. I get that. But like, if what you want out of it is that. I never understood the...
Was he just trying to embarrass him?
It was like, I'm going to use you and your followers to drag another bunch of people's eyes to it. Well, then when he gets his hands on the kids' technology, it's no. I'm going to actually drag them in here and force them to watch this thing. But when it starts going bad for me, I'm not going to just end it. I'm going to see it through. And all right, here's another very stupid thing maybe to complain about with this movie, but I'm going to do it anyway. In the first movie, Michael Jordan gets sucked into a golf hole on a golf course, right?
Right.
Michael Jordan goes to fucking Toon World, and that's insanity. Wayne Knight goes down there as well. There's a bunch of running jokes about him digging up a golf course, and I'm fixing a divot, you know.
That's funny.
Bill Murray ends up there randomly, and the joke is, well, I know the producer.
Right.
That's funny, right? These are the only three people, unless I'm remembering correctly, who end up down there.
That's the only three.
The only other people who interact with the Looney Tunes are the kids, his kids. Oh. And they make a point to say, like, we'll never tell. We'll never tell anybody. Because they're kids. It's cute. It's like Santa Claus, right? And the only other way that anyone knows anything about what happened, short of, you know, the other basketball players, like, touching a ball and getting their abilities back, and obviously they all think they're crazy anyway, so they're not going to tell anybody,
right,
is Michael Jordan showing up at the game in the spaceship. And look, that's the one that's really hard to justify, but I'm going to try to anyway.
Compared to
Michael
this,
Jordan
yeah.
was seen as, well, Michael Jordan was seen as this major, like, insane star, and that he was kind of lording his starhood over baseball once he left basketball. Of course, the motherfucker shows up 5 minutes late to a baseball game in a spaceship.
Right.
Like, that could have been
that's
anything.
That's just Michael
right?
Jordan, yeah.
In this movie,
mm-hmm.
LeBron James,
right,
his entire family, and approximately every follower he has on Instagram, which is like what 1.2 million or something people, all get sucked into their phones, experience this situation, and then that all goes away at the end. And then a week later, they're all at
no consequences.
E3 game camp. Yeah. Like, no, there's the entirety of society isn't like, what the fuck just happened?
Not just
to
his
a
followers.
Million people.
Not just his followers, but also Ernie Johnson, Rel.
Well, he's his follower.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that was the plot justification. At least they right. tried to give some logistics to it. But like some of the people, yes, you're right. Ernie Johnson,
Rel.
Damn it, the other guy's name.
Laurel.
Yeah.
That's the.
And there were. I feel like there were two or three other people that they showed. I don't remember who.
Well, they did.
Well,
they
I mean, shit. Michael B. Jordan.
Yes. And a bunch. So there's a part where there's a woman on a plane. She's a stewardess, and her friend walks up, and she pulls her, and they're all watching the phone, like, "Oh man, the game's about to start." And I'm thinking, "Bull fucking shit." No one, not as many people are watching a live game of LeBron versus his son as this fucking movie. This movie tries to make LeBron James out to be like this godlike character, like Michael Jordan. I've seen Michael Jordan, sir. You are no Michael Jordan. Like,
and that might be.
Oh
the
my
most
God. I'm fucking drinking this whole bottle.
I really thought that the most criminal thing for this movie for me was going to be the treatment of the Looney Tunes. I thought, man, they're going to treat them like they're stupid, and it's going to kind of make me angry because I grew up with these characters and they should be revered. But I agree with you in the sense that I did sort of like the way that it's Bugs left by himself, and then you get that nice little redemption story of he wants his friends back together.
I genuinely
like
that.
They still have their value. Yeah. They still have their worth.
Right.
The only thing I didn't really like of that, and this is, again, maybe a dumb thing to complain about, but when he makes them 3D, not just the appearances, I didn't care for that. I would have preferred they stay the way they were.
Yep.
But it was like, again, this is supposed to be, I think, a kid's movie and a comedy. That's some straight up body horror. Like,
kind
he
of, yeah.
forcibly changes them in a way that doesn't harm them, but makes them all very uncomfortable. Like, you can see all of them getting uncomfortable as this happens, and no one really addresses it. LeBron, by the way, just gets to go back to being a person.
Right.
Because he's already 3D. He doesn't get changed in some weird, unusual way. Right. And at the end, when that character is deleted or destroyed, they all go back to normal, so it's clearly not a thing that they wanted.
Right.
That was deeply uncomfortable to me in a way that I thought, I don't think this is what they were going for, and it's making me feel weird.
Also, the bad guys of the film are so boring compared to the Monstars.
So bad.
They
so
have
bad. So what
no
they tried
personality.
To do, this is you led right into what I deviated from a minute ago and forgot to get back to.
Okay.
In the 90s, Michael Jordan was known by literally fucking everyone.
Yeah.
Pre-internet. We're talking about before the internet was a big deal. Everyone knew who this guy was. You did not have to watch basketball. You did not have to be a kid. You knew who Michael Jordan was, even if it was just from commercials he'd been in. That is the definition of just like exceeding fame.
Right. Yeah.
LeBron James is not and will never be Michael Jordan. And I'm not talking about talent. I don't know enough about professional basketball
talent
to make that argument.
He is a great fucking basketball player. He really is.
And my understanding is he's an incredible basketball player. But that's not what Michael Jordan was about in Space. And it wasn't the point.
No.
Michael Jordan was
a persona.
He was
a character. Yeah.
He was that person, like you said, was in many ways a character. He wasn't just a great basketball player. He was sort of above that.
Right.
LeBron James is not and will never be. I don't know that you'll exactly. That's a great word for it. He was an icon. I don't know that you're ever going to have that kind of level again with individual sports nowadays.
No, it's like saying
it's just not going to happen.
It's like Hulk Hogan, right? Like, for all Hulk Hogan's faults, and there's a ton of them, he's a bad person, I get it. But, like, you can have The Rock. You can have
Hulk Hogan is an icon.
He's an icon. No one will ever be Hulk Hogan because Hogan was the first person that made it to the top in that way, in the same way that Michael Jordan was. And you'll never have another Michael Jordan.
That name will always be synonymous with that whole thing.
To try to make LeBron James on the same level is insulting. It's not taking away from LeBron James. He's a great basketball player. He's a terrible actor. Holy shit, was he awful. And okay, very bad. Before I forget this, because the alcohol is kicking in, and I'm going to lose focus here in a second.
Yeah.
One of the things I hated the most about this is, for the most of this film, in the first Space Jam movie, Michael Jordan was always human. You always got to see his face. You got to see his facial reactions.
So much of this movie.
But so much of this
LeBron
film.
LeBron James as a tune.
So you're relying on LeBron James as a voice actor. He's not even a regular actor. It's bad.
No,
it's,
and voice acting is.
It's so hard. I know this better than anybody.
I was going to say, I've ranted about this a lot, but voice acting and acting are not the same thing.
No.
You cannot just hire an actor to be a voice actor and expect great results every time. Sometimes you strike gold. Sometimes you get lucky and somebody who is a great actor turns out to also be a great voice actor. But they're not interchangeable, and LeBron James is bad at both.
Yes.
You know what really disappointed me, though, because of that, is that there were a couple of times, and it was always when he was interacting with the kid playing his son that I thought, oh, shit, he's getting it. Like, you could see every once in a while he would have this little moment when he dabs in the kid's fucking bedroom when he's like, oh, did you say dab? Dab. Like, when that was legitimately funny to me. And it felt like that feels real. That feels genuine. This is an interaction this guy has had with this kid before. And so he in like reality, and he's evoking that really. There were a couple of other times, I don't remember specifically, but most of the time you can see him just like reading those lines in his head and getting ready to recite them. And it doesn't work. The villains, coming back to you, because this is where we were going originally.
Sure.
So if it's insulting that LeBron James is being put basically on the same level as Michael Jordan, it's even more insulting to think that we're going to now. So I guess what they thought was, in the original movie, the Monstars, the villainous team, are goofy little aliens, but they have the powers of these other NBA and the talents of these other NBA players. And so we kind of make them look like them. Like, the one guy kind of looks like Charles Barkley. Right. The one guy kind of looks like Patrick Ewing. Right. This time around, instead of existing things that get the abilities of something else, it's just, we're going to take existing players and graft them some of these like weird abilities onto them. The problem is, I don't know who any of these
I don't know who they were.
Are.
No, and
how am I supposed to know who any of these people? It's Dame time. Who the fuck is who? What?
And there's parts in it
and
where
now
I'm
he's
like
a clockwork guy. Like,
oh, I don't understand that at all. You got a guy that can literally control time. It. Also, he gets
and you still lost.
She sits him to 120 years later and he turns older and grows beard. That's not how robots work.
But he also doesn't then just fix it. I thought he was going to like suddenly like rust and fall apart like an Indiana Jones thing.
No,
he just gets really old and grows a robot beard.
God damn.
I'm gonna change the name to robot beard.
Thank you. And I didn't understand what the point of some of them were. I'm like, okay, she's a spider. Why? What is that? And then they show the part where this is another thing that drove me crazy. And Zach, don't you go anywhere because I'm about to turn it over to you completely to get your justification about why we had to watch this movie. There's a part where she's like dunking over and over again, and the ball keeps hitting LeBron in the face and keeps dunking, and he's getting points. Oh, God. The game was designed by the kid. And it was ran by the algorithm who decided that, like, all of a sudden it's 1,000 to 30 because of extra points and all that. If you have that power and you can take points away from them, how do you lose in the end and suddenly turn into a poster that gets destroyed? How the
he
fuck
got posterized.
How the fuck does any of this work? I'm losing my shit here.
You know what made me really mad about that whole
God,
thing,
I'm
too?
So mad.
We were already talking about it. There were all these characters, all these Warner Brothers properties surrounding the court, right? So you can see the Mystery Machine. You can see the Animaniacs. A bunch of those people were villains, like Pennywise and the Penguin and
Catwoman.
Mr. Freeze and Catwoman. Why in the fuck are the villains playing basketball not just the DC villains from their properties? You have them right there. Why does he not recruit Voldemort? Pennywise.
Yes.
Fucking the Joker.
Apocalypse.
The Nicholson Joker was in the background,
not
too.
Not Apocalypse. Doomsday. Darkseid.
Doomsday. Darkseid. Why? Why? Why is it not just these characters? Instead of inventing random people that no one gives a shit about.
Yeah.
Why not them?
Holy shit, every part of this fucking film falls apart. And Zach Kurgis, I blame you entirely. We were going to watch Basketball Diaries. We were going to watch Love and Basketball. And instead, we watched Space Jam, A New Horse Shit. Tell me why, Kurgis. Tell me why.
For my amusement. No,
that's it. Brick. That's what it is. That's the correct answer.
Because I'm the professor. No.
You broke him. Zach, legitimately, so you saw this movie
I saw it when it came out because I was like, yeah, you know, it could be something, because my daughter was born, I think, shortly after one of the two, and so I was like, yeah, this could be something we watch together. And then I watched it and I was just like, what the, it took me like 4 or 5 tries to watch it
to actually get all the way through it.
Yeah, because I just kept stopping. I was just like, what the hell is this?
It's so bad.
And then every time, like, another thing showed up, it's like, oh, that's cool, I guess. Oh, why is Coyote spraying spray paint in his mouth? Oh, that's a good shine for, like, kids, you know?
We didn't even talk about that. All the different Looney Tunes sections of them trying to pick them up. You know, I really thought I was going to love that because honestly, Daffy Duck as trying to be Superman was funny to me.
Yeah.
I liked watching that whole section. But then, yeah, all of a sudden, Wile E. Coyote spraying spray paint in his mouth in a Mad Max, like Furiosa race. And I was like, who is this for?
Right. Your kid should not be watching Mad Max Fury Road.
No.
God damn.
And then Rick and Morty shows up, and I mean,
which was fine. Really, that was one of the most harmless points. A little bit.
We're tired of trying to scan your little beaver thing. We don't know what he is.
You can have
send him back to us. You can have good luck. It's a funny little bit.
Yeah,
but
good luck, like, dum-dums.
Again, yeah, there were some things that I laughed at a little bit because little cameos here and there are kind of funny.
Yes.
And if you're gonna have a just soulless commercial, that's what I want. Right.
That's what I want.
Actually, it's funny to me that, like, I'm thinking of it now. Paramount Plus, when it came online as a new subscription,
the commercials.
One of the best ways. Yeah. One of the best ways that they sold it was by those commercials that combined, like, Captain Picard and Hey Arnold.
Yes.
And random football players. Agreed. And this kind of shit. Like, that shit was kind of cool because it's like, here's all these random characters you would never expect to be on the same streaming service, but come to find out they're all made by the same company. And here's a little commercial, a little 2-minute thing that's funny about that.
Right.
I did not need a 2-hour movie about the power of acceptance.
Fucking
to sell me on a Max subscription. I already have it. I'm watching the fucking movie on it.
All right. Yeah, that's it. Let's get to the reviews. No, we're done. Let's get to the reviews.
I can't do it anymore.
I will go first, as I often do. I am fully aware this is the most unprofessional show we've ever done. Because it's so little critical thinking and just ranting. I don't care. I'm gonna say it now. This is the worst movie I've ever reviewed for this show. I truly believe that.
Wow.
And here's why I say that. Because Tokyo Gore Police, even though there's a lot of flaws, it was an idea that was born from someone's creativity who wanted to make something. It was not a soulless cash grab meant to, like, sell you something else. Tokyo Gore Police, even though it's not a good film, it at least had a soul. Whether you liked it or not, that's one thing. This movie... this is the most soulless fucking thing I think I've ever watched. It's a giant commercial. It had a plot that made no sense. It had characters that had no point. This is the worst movie we've ever watched. Even worse than Friday the 13th, because at least I like Friday the 13th enough to respect a lot of the things they did. There was nothing about this movie other than one or two parts that I chuckled at or enjoyed. I hate this film. This film gets two gigantic middle fingers and thumbs down from me. Compared to the first Space Jam.
Do, like, is it like that?
It's like this,
The thumbs go down and then the...
If you compare this movie to the first Space Jam, it's even worse. Because the first Space Jam
insulting.
It had a fucking rocking soundtrack. It had great characters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Another thing we didn't even talk about, that. Sarah, at one point in time, every time that a song came on, Sarah goes, why is this the worst music I've ever heard?
Yes.
Like, isn't Space Jam known for being great musically? And
there was one
the
song.
Best they could do?
I can't remember it because at this point I'm tipsy. There was one song in the film that I remember going, oh, I know this song. I kind of like it. Everything else was bad. It was it just didn't have an energy. This movie was just, it was designed to sell you something else.
By committee.
Yeah. And the original Space Jam, even though it was very much like a, hey, look how great Michael Jordan is, it at least felt fun and interesting.
Was also, look how great the Looney Tunes are. Right. Like, and again, in the 90s, you kind of needed that because we were on the tail end of them being a big deal. Nickelodeon, I recall, still ran them as like reruns in the midday. They had the rights to all the Merry Melody stuff, and they were running them as like midday reruns. So it was nice to see like kind of an older property get a nice little sheen on it, a little synergy with someone else who's a big deal, and it worked.
Right.
It shouldn't have worked, but it did work.
Right. It was lightning in a bottle. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was something so out there, and it was original, and it was fun. The characters were fun. The cameos by the basketball players were fun. The only thing, there are two things I liked about this movie. Only two things. The Bugs Bunny plot they did nothing with, of him just wanting to see his friends, because that's genuine. I feel that.
Right.
And I admittedly did like some of the graphics, like when they're playing basketball, the colors, and it was a game for people with ADHD. It was a video game. That's what it felt like. But everything else, the plot, the dialogue, the characters, the enemy, the everything was bad. This, I can say, this isn't the worst movie I've ever seen. It's not. But this is the worst film we've ever reviewed for this show. And I think it's even worse than Dog Soldiers, because I like Dog Soldiers Once Upon a Time. And I want to watch it again to see if I'm going to be as critical as I was the first time we reviewed it. And even Neil Breen, like you said before, the meme-ness of it was fun. Nothing about this film was fun. This was a chore to get through. It was insulting. It's not for kids. It's not for adults. This is for nobody but Warner Brothers executives, shareholders, and LeBron James. I hated this film. Two thumbs down from me. Worst thing we've ever reviewed. Hunter, go ahead.
Oh,
I know. I'm being very mean. I'm sorry. I'm in pain. I really hated this fucking movie.
I don't entirely disagree with you. I'm not going to lie to you. I have been teetering back and forth between one and two down. It was never going to be anything up in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
There were a few times, despite myself, that I found myself having fun. And I told you this. I liked the Porky Pig rap more than I should have liked. Actually, I laughed a lot at that. When I saw what was happening and I knew what was coming, I thought this is going to be fucking hilarious. And indeed it was. It was a good roast. I won't get the visual of Tweety doing the meme, the oh, out of my head for a while, where he just goes by the camera. I laughed a fucking lot. I had to pause at that part because I was laughing so hard. So I did laugh pretty hard at that. But the only time I really had fun with this movie was with the Looney Tunes. And there's only one really good section for it, and that's when, for the first time, LeBron learns his lesson about, you know, hey, I got to let these people be who they are.
Right.
Because basically they're losing the game because he's trying to force them to do, you know, fundamentals. And Bugs even has a pretty good line where he's like, we're not the fundamental tunes.
Right.
We're the Looney Tunes. Like, that's not how we work. So when he finally cuts them loose and lets them just be who they are, I did laugh several times at some of the like the classic antics, you know, that they get up to. One thing that will never fail to make me at least chuckle is any time that Daffy Duck gets his mouth blown off and his literal mouth by itself goes, mother, when it goes, Bill. Mother,
yes.
That makes me laugh every fucking time that I see it.
Yeah.
So again, despite itself, there were times that I did have fun. But I don't think that that's any credit to the movie itself. I think that's just when you have the Looney Tunes there, sooner or later, this shit's going to happen. Unless you've done this extremely incorrectly. I'm looking at you, Extreme Looney Tunes, or whatever the fuck they were called in the late 2000s. When they were like superheroes. Does anybody else remember that?
The redesigns? Yeah. No.
Oh, God. No, it was strange. I didn't care for it.
Nope.
So there were a few times that I enjoyed myself, but basically the only time that I did is when this was, again, it's when it was being a 2-minute commercial that was Space Jam themed, and that's all it should have ever been. That's all it should have ever been. I should have seen, if you're going to use LeBron James to do this, to sell HBO Max, just basically do a 2-minute commercial where he plays a basketball game with the Looney Tunes against some random villains. And I'm already sold on it, but fine, you sold me. That's all I needed. I like, you know, Taz spinning and moving the court so that the guys shoot into the wrong goal. That was funny to me. Anything Wile E. Coyote did, basically, short of literally eating spray paint like a Mad Max character, was funny.
He was the only reason they even stood a chance. If not for him, they would have gotten destroyed. Wile E.
With
Coyote.
The duplicator thing.
Yeah, he's the star of the film.
Yes.
Fucker.
Yeah, so... Again, I did have fun from time to time, but it was always in spite of the movie itself.
Right.
All of that said, it's not a good movie. I don't recommend it to anybody. I don't think it's worth watching. I don't even know that it's worth watching the scenes that I'm talking about and going back and trying to find them. On a better day, I might call this inoffensive. But it's kind of offensive.
I was offended.
As somebody who watches movies and who reveres a lot of the characters that they brought up and they talked about here, a lot of the properties that they mentioned, like Harry Potter just keeps getting random call-outs with no, you know, direct involvement in any way. It's just not, it's not worth your time. Not for 2 hours, for sure. It's not going to do anything for you if you were an old Space Jam fan. And I think maybe that's the biggest disservice, is that if you're coming into this movie having watched the original as a kid and having loved it, you're not really going to get anything out of this. Nothing new is going to happen in the sense that you're going to care about. You're going to see some things that it does weirdly better. Like, again, Lola Bunny is much better handled in this movie than she was in the original.
The graphics are great.
But you're not going to... Yeah, but you're not going to leave it going, I want more of that, I want to know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what bothers me the most, is that as a kid, I left that first movie going, I want more. I want more of anything of what just happened. I am back into the Looney Tunes big time again. I'm into basketball. Like, I really want to know what's going on with this, and I want to see more of it. I want a cartoon. I want the action figures, whatever. I left this movie, and granted, I was... Oh, God, Space Jam came out when? I got the notes in front of me. The very first one came out... in 1996. So it comes out in 1996, which means I'm 11 years old. This movie came out in 2021. I'm seeing it in 2024 when I am 39. That makes a big difference. But I definitely left this movie going, I don't want any more of this. This feels disservice-y to characters that I do like. It feels frustratingly just maddening to characters I don't know anything about. And it feels like it has created an awful bunch of characters that I didn't need. So I think I've got to go 2 thumbs down. I can't say that it's the worst movie we've seen. I still think that legitimately I would watch this again before I watch Fateful Findings again, unless it was in a group with other people. And I said it before and I'll say it again, even though I didn't give it 2 thumbs down, I did not like Tokyo Gore Police. I will not watch that movie again.
Right.
Not to just keep calling back to it, but we were talking about it.
I'd watch that again before I watch this. That's all I'll say.
I would let this movie run in the background if I couldn't find the remote. That's the nicest thing I can say about it, is if I couldn't find an easy way to turn it off and I was laid up on the couch with another kidney stone, God forbid, I would just go, well, I guess this is what I'm watching now.
I'll say this. And I also hate going back to Tokyo Gore Police a lot, because people just assume it's my favorite movie because I talk about it so much. It's not. I didn't like the film.
They think it's my least favorite movie. Right. It's like, no.
I don't know how to explain this to people. But I'll say this. I respect that movie more than I respect this movie.
Yes. I will even acquiesce to that.
Yeah.
I respect that there's a vision and a story and an attempt to do something. And it's definitely for somebody. I also watched this movie. I watched Space Jam, A New Legacy, and went, who is this for? I also watched Tokyo Gore Police and went, who is this for? But they were two very different tenors of who is this for. Because with Tokyo Gore Police, I knew there was an answer. There's a legitimate answer to that question. It's just not me.
Right.
For this movie...
You still can't figure it out.
I don't know that there is...
You can't say who.
I can't say who. Because it's not really for kids, and it's not really for adults. So who the fuck is it for?
Board shareholders. It's for fucking shareholders. All right.
People to make a lot of money on.
So I am actually tipsy at this point. Did you say 1 or 2 down? I forget.
I'm saying I'm gonna go with two. I'm gonna go with two okay. down. It's gonna join the two down club. And I mean, well, I'm curious if Zach will further it that way. Shit. But yeah,
I normally I just
can't like it enough to give it even just one.
I normally introduce the rating system. I'm so sorry. So two thumbs up, you loved it. One thumbs up, you liked it. One up, one down is neutral. One down, you didn't like it. Two down, you hate it. I hate this fucking.
We
film.
Knew where this was going.
Oh,
yeah, we knew where this was going.
I am also curious to see where Zach Kurgis lands on this. So Zach, go ahead.
Yo. So first, I definitely feel like this movie was written by AI.
Yes!
Someone yes! said, yes. these are the characters, write a story. And then they read it and they said, it's kind of all right. Give me five more examples. That's it. Film that.
And some and, version of that is why they needed six writers.
Yes. And
fuck.
It's so bad. It's such a bad movie. Like... there was no reason to do it. I don't even know why. The relationship between LeBron and his kid is terrible. Like, I don't know if that's just because the acting is terrible, but like, you can't make me believe that's his child. I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, I didn't read like it was.
And so like, you guys were saying, like, just the story, it made no sense. And then at one point, you know, in the crowd, the whole time I'm trying to see who all these cameos are, I don't even give a shit about your basketball game.
Yep.
I don't care about what's happening. I'm looking at King Kong next to Iron Giant, next to some nuns, next to, you know, Agent Smith, next to Austin Powers. Like, what is happening here? You know, and, but it was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I'm also bad. Gonna have to give you a two thumbs down.
Yes! It joins the club!
Yeah.
That's what, yeah. three films now? Bad. Three films?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's only three films that have gotten three down or two thumbs down all across the board, and that's Dog Soldiers, Fateful Findings. So Dog Soldiers was us and Kaz. Fateful Findings was us and Cody.
Yeah.
And now Space Jam, us and Zach. Yeah. Well, there's deserved. Been a couple other times that I think people have given it two thumbs down, but I don't know that we've ever gotten one that was broken by a single vote. Like, I think usually it's like one person gives it two thumbs down, but a couple of others give it one right. or two or whatever.
I mean this when I say this. This is my least favorite film we've reviewed for this. It's just, and it's not that it was, it's complicated because it's not like it was shot poorly. It was actually shot very well. It's not that it didn't have good. Yeah. Again. It's not that it didn't have good, you know, CG and graphics. It did. But it's
not even that it had bad performances because right. Don Cheadle is having a fucking yes. blast throughout this entire movie.
It's just,
and he's fun to watch.
You have to take this movie as it is, as what it is. And when you look at what it is, it's such, this is a soulless film. This is designed to get you described. Yeah. And like, when you look at it that way, I can't support this film at all. Also, no. I want to point out really quick, breaking news. I put this in the chat. Joseph Lieberman has passed away.
I passed this on earlier today.
God damn it. I've been busy at work. I'm sorry. In fact, I'm now seeing your post at 6:30. It's 9:30 as we record this. Well, I'll have some things to say about this tomorrow on After Dark, because Joseph Lieberman, famous anti-video game crusader. I got a couple things to say. But when it comes to this, back to this show. We real quick, we'll do the best character, worst character. What was the best performance, worst performance? I forget.
No, best character, worst character.
So best,
it's always just been character.
Best character to me in this film, God, none of the characters have personality. But as much as I want to give it to Don Cheadle, because he really did, that's not the character though. That's the actor. You know what
that's
I mean?
The actor.
Right.
That's two different things.
Yes. To me, best character in this film is Bugs Bunny. I think he had
didn't like algae.
What's that? So no, didn't I didn't like fucking like algae. It's so fucking stupid. I liked Bugs Bunny. His story, how much he cared about his friends and how he missed them. I get that, man. That is some feels right there. Like I said, I like that part. Worst character in this movie, LeBron James forever. It's always LeBron James. Goddamn. Or you know what? Or maybe the basketball players that helped him. I don't know. It's one of the or that he went against. It's one or the other. Fuck this fucking movie. God damn it.
Yeah, I don't know that I could pick out one that I liked more or I liked better or worse than what you're talking about there, because the Looney Tunes were all great, but they're always great. I didn't get anything specific from them that I didn't that I liked or
they were
didn't
the Looney
like.
Tunes. Yeah.
They're just the Looney Tunes, man. They are what they are. And I'm always gonna like, just like you like to watch Daffy, I'm always gonna like to watch Taz do ridiculous shit. I'm always gonna like to watch Wile E. Coyote, but nothing there specific just like stuck out as a, oh yeah, that's gonna make it into my favorite. I don't know, man. Ah shit, Porky Pig and that rap. I laughed a lot at that. I might have to give him like a nod, but yeah, Bugs Bunny definitely has the best arc. I just wish it had paid off. I wish there had been more to like that little bit of, okay, now I got him back, but like they don't want to stay. They just want to help him and then go again. And then there being like a reason of why they left and why they want to stay now and all that. They were so close. It's that fucking meme from Rogue Squad or Rogue One. Like we were this close to greatness. Like there was just for a second there, I thought they were going to pull it off. Worst character, man,
Ice Spice.
Algae's little helper, whatever the fuck his name
the little
was,
robot
that thing.
Little thing. Yeah,
yeah, that felt like something ripped off straight out of a Pixar movie that like got dejected from one of them or rejected from them. I don't know. That was dumb. I didn't much care for. I felt like a waste of a character. I'm so bored even talking about him. I couldn't remember what the fuck his name was. I don't understand why that character was there. He didn't do anything special at all.
No, he was AI for the AI. It was bad.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, so we got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about the epilogues version of part of this. What happens to these characters after the fact? What we'd like to see in future installments? Nothing. Nothing. Fucking die. I seriously cannot explain to you how much I hate this movie, and I don't know why. There was just something about it. I don't know if it's because I really did feel like it was this soulless thing or what, but like, I hated this movie. It bothered me, and I don't want to, it didn't make me hate Looney Tunes, but it made me hate basketball. And if you're going to do a Space Jam 3, make it about baseball or curling or something. So I can't take the same fucking movie a third time.
You know, we ended up having a 30-year span almost between these
almost,
two movies.
Yeah.
Like 25, 30-year span. The rumor for years was that another Space Jam movie was going to happen. And for some time, it was LeBron or it was Kobe or somebody was going to come in and do like another basketball one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there were also rumors that that was going to be the case, that there was going to be – I know at one point in time, there was a football one, and I think Tim Tebow was the guy that they were talking about tapping for.
I don't want that either.
The Manning – well, he wouldn't be now anyway, but the Manning brothers I know came up at one point in time. It was going to be a football thing.
That might be
there
funny.
Was a baseball one, I think, at some point. But like you said, none of this needs to happen. We've done this already. At a certain point, it doesn't make here. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going back to the movie itself. But one thing we didn't talk about, one of the things that worked about the original was that it was the Looney Tunes that were in trouble, and they needed Michael Jordan, and they needed his help.
Right.
That kind of made sense and tied everything into why it was all happening there.
That
this doesn't work for the exact opposite, because now it's LeBron's kid who we don't know. Like, yeah. There's way too much of that kid in this movie.
I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, go ahead, Zach. Go ahead.
I was going to say, even to play on what you were talking about, you know, the Looney Tunes were in trouble, and all of a sudden Bugs, you know, everyone's like, oh, let's do basketball. And then all of a sudden
they came
these
up
guys
with the idea.
Show up, and they're monsters all of a sudden. So, oh, let's get the best basketball player that everyone knows. And then even when they're sneaking into the house and the kids show up, they explain to the kids, even the kids are like, yeah, no, we get it. We know who
our
dad is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you need him.
Like, yeah,
but
in the
this movie, yeah, it's LeBron who's like gotta save his kid, and then he doesn't want to recruit the Looney Tunes. We didn't talk about that. He wanted Superman, he wanted the Iron Giant, but Bugs kind of tricks him into getting these other people, and then he's just like, well, I guess that'll work. But at the same time, so it's like LeBron doesn't know that Space Jam, the original movie, existed, but at the same time, the movie knows that that happened. The Looney Tunes do, because they reference Michael Jordan. That's the whole joke around Michael B. Jordan.
And Lola Bunny.
And Lola. great at fucking basketball.
And so if I'm not mistaken, when he's walking through and they have all the posters, there's a Space Jam poster in there.
There absolutely is, yeah.
Right, so it happened. I mean, the little Monstar guys are in there. They show them twice. They're very prominently featured.
Well, there's also a part...
one of my favorite parts.
There's also a part where Bugs is talking to Lola and he says, you know, we have a chance to play with LeBron James. How often do you get a chance to play with an NBA legend or something like that? And she says, been there, done that. Referencing the first movie, yeah.
Right.
Well, I will say the only part of the movie I really liked is when Don Cheadle was like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Training
Day. King Kong just kind of looks at King Kong and he's just like, huh?
But again, who is that for? That's a Training Day reference. That's a Training Day reference.
Right. What kid is going, oh, Dad, that's Training Day? None of them.
And even the parents that do know about it is going, God, please just end it already. I'd rather watch that.
This has got to be over.
Oh, God. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they should just make a Captain Planet movie.
Why not? With Don Cheadle as Captain Planet.
That's kind of what he felt like. That's what I'm the saying. Body like, horror of him just turning people into trees, but instead he's just making them 3D when they're not supposed to be.
Yeah. And that was the vibe I got from it. Like, whenever he's just sitting there, and he's got that look in the video where he's like, you're all trees. Like, that was what I got whenever he was sitting there watching that game. He's like, yes, you're all...
And then don't forget that at the end he turned into a poster and then he died. which magically released all the humans back into the real world, including LeBron, who thankfully waited just long enough to say his piece with the Looney Tunes before he met. I fucking hate this movie. Dalton, are you happy? I'm drunk, Dalton, and I hate this movie. Are you satisfied now? God damn.
Shannon, you know what? I'm going to make it worse. Hang on. You got to pour one more because you're going to want the whole one for this one. You didn't read the notable trivia for this, did you?
No, I was saving it for the last. I wanted to specifically mention that you put in here, in case you missed it, in contrast to the first film dealing with outer space, the space and Space Jam, this time refers around cyberspace. Very clever. Fuck this movie.
Because I remember at the end going, why is it called Space Jam other than to reference the original one? Because in the first one, it takes place in outer space. And outer the aliens space. Come from outer space. And this one, oh, it's all in cyberspace.
Goddamn. The first movie's goddamn Citizen Kane compared to this fucking dreck.
What that tells me, though, is that means that the third movie, whenever there is a, you know, what happens after this movie, the third one has got to be tied into some other kind of space. I just haven't figured it out yet. I'm working on it, but it hasn't happened yet.
Office Space.
It's Office Space.
All right. Well,
the third movie. You got too far from your mic. We can't even hear you.
God damn it. On that note, the theater is closed. The balcony is closed. Happy birthday, Podzilla 1985. 9 years on the
nine
air.
Years
9 years
today.
Of my fucking life drained.
Which means that,
by reviewing like this.
So at this point in time, right now, it is 9:52 p.m. on Wednesday, March 27th of 2024.
Right.
That means that we're very much, because I think we rolled in around 10 o'clock that night to do that very first episode, right?
Yep.
It's like a three-hour show. We were there until like 1 in the morning.
Yep.
So we are approaching quite literally the actual, to the minute, nine-year anniversary of PZ85.
We are.
9 years ago.
And it's absolutely staggering to think that in those 9 years, I have discovered alcoholism.
I assumed you were gonna say that I haven't died yet.
I want to so bad.
No.
Tomorrow on an all new After Dark, we will be celebrating a little bit of 9 years. We are gonna have to talk about it. And then on Horse Time as well. Because 9 years is like, it's staggering. There's a lot of podcasts that popped up after we started doing our thing, and a lot of them only lasted a couple of months. Some of them lasted longer than others. I am always proud of people when they start something and do it, whether it's a month or years. And if we had any inspiration into them doing that, that is a great feeling for me. Podzilla has been my home, and this is my greatest achievement. You're talking about a guy who has done... I've not only been a wrestler, I've owned a wrestling company and put on legitimate shows and succeeded at it. I own my own business. You're talking about a guy who has done a lot of things. This is my proudest thing because Podzilla has been on the air for 9 years and it's seen a lot of people come through it. A lot of them are my best friends. They're still my best friends. The fact that we're still having fun with it after 9 years, a lot of people don't get that. That is spectacular to me. So we will be celebrating 9 years of Podzilla 1985 tomorrow, and then also on Friday for Horse Time. But until then, this fucking show is done. I am done talking about Space Jam. No more. I would like to thank you for listening. I'm so mad. I'm mad and drunk. It's not a good combination. Thank you, Zach, for coming onto the show tonight and for making me watch this goddamn piece of cat vomit.
The next one's going to be Winnie the Pooh.
Nope. That's where I draw the line.
Now, you know what?
That's where I draw the line.
No, I'll say it now. I'll make this promise to you, Zach. In October, for Halloween, we will review the first Winnie the Pooh movie.
Oh, God.
The three of us. Yeah.
Must we?
Well, we're already fucking sucking the bottom of the cuck barrel. We might as well jump head first.
I have so many good movies lined up for Halloween, and you want to do that. Like, we didn't review the original Scream last year. We didn't get around Ghostbusters 2. We haven't even touched any of the Halloween movies, to the best of my knowledge.
I hate this movie. I can't stress that enough to you. I'm tipsy right now, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to wake up tomorrow sober, and I'll still hate this fucking movie. So that's it.
Before you end this, let me share. This is just a little taste for the audience. Here are the five movies that I currently have, because I keep a running list of things we can do for our different themed months. Sure. Here are the five movies that I already had laid out for potentially for spooky season October. The original Scream, Ghostbusters 2, The Shining, Hereditary, and The Faculty, and you want to watch motherfucking Winnie the Pooh blood and honey.
One of those fucking spots is going to be taken up by a Zach Kurgis special. That's how much I love Zach and hate myself. That's it for tonight. We're done. We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new After Dark. We're talking about our five favorite alien races. It will be a little bit late show. Not too much. Hunter is going to be in St. Louis. I will be going to the theater with Lindsay and Billy Hills once again, potentially Zach Kurgis, to watch Godzilla versus X-Kong. Yeah. I'm excited about it. So that's tomorrow.
X-Kong. New Empire.
I can't end this show. That's it. Balcony's closed. We'll see you tomorrow for an all-new After Dark. Fuck Space Jam 2. Long live Godzilla 1985. You guys have a good night. Hunter, take us out.
No, Zach, take us out.
Zach, take us out.